Episode 327, October 23rd, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Marcus just, you know, brought up a good point here before we went on the air. You know, this big TMOS trip to New Orleans, the live show, but I'm going to be doing stand-up to open the show, and Marcus will be there. You know, all the trips that you and Katie take, Joe, you're going to Colorado and all these things. You can't go to New Orleans? What's up?
Oh, you're blindsiding me.
I love it.
We didn't talk about this in prep.
No, he asked you, it's too bad you're not going to New Orleans.
Listen, you and I discussed, are we going to do this on the show? This is something no. I can't do.
I don't remember. I don't know why you're not going. I forgot.
We had a long discussion about my availability. It's okay. I can't go. I'm not available. I have other work stuff that I'm involved in. I can't up and go. I wish I could.
Fair enough.
I'll wait in awkward silence longer than you.
Man, I didn't know that it was an awkward. I just thought you just were going to say I had to, work was busy. I didn't know it was personal.
Hey, in chat, I get some of the names. Charity and War Hero, that's somebody shitting on you, Rob. Matt got fucked, that's
carrying on
you more.
The legacy of Eric the Actor.
How is Charity and War Hero? I don't understand. What does that mean?
You do understand. That's not saying it applies.
No, I don't understand.
They're implying.
I remember Eric the Actor implying that I said I was a war hero, but I don't know where the charity part.
I guess they are implying that if you... It's funny because you can't do anything nice or something altruistic because they shit on you as if you're looking for credit. Meanwhile, sometimes we just say what we do. But that's what it is. It's having fun at the expense of the things that you do for the U.S. troops.
All right, what else we got?
McCartney is pissed.
Because Rob undersold his guitar.
Yes. Hey, they were happy with how much I got for that thing.
Yeah. So,
yeah. But he should be pissed. Could have gone for more.
I don't need the other names in chat explained to me. Jim Amato, Gramps.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Welcome to the show. Robbie, you were gone last week. The last time you were gone, Marcus made a point for me to ask how you thought of the show, and then you played a clip and it led to 3 weeks of
huge argument. Yeah.
Yeah, that we're just now getting over, and apparently now it started with me and Joe, so that's it's shifted. But are you happy with last week's show or is
yeah no I
well I let was, me let me play the clip
No, I was very engaged, very involved. I was texting Joe right in the middle of listening to it.
Really? You could have been there is what you were saying.
No, no, no. I was texting Joe when I listened to it played back.
Got you. Okay, right. All right, so you approve of our effort last week.
Oh yeah, it was a good show.
Thank God. Man. All right. I thought it sucked. No, it was a good show. And tonight will be a good show, maybe. Because, you know, we've got some... We haven't spoken about Dan Ninen in a while, but he's...
God, he's resurfaced. Ninen. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We'll shit on The Walking Dead. It'll be a good show. But Marcus, you also mentioned about New Orleans. Am I going to be doing a meet and greet? Explain to me what is happening and what do I have to do and where and when?
Well, at this particular time, we don't have anything formalized. There are some events going on that the TMOS fan club have put together, and you're obviously invited to that. But I didn't know if you wanted to formally put out there that you are going to be at a particular place at maybe a particular time so that the people could come to you.
Well, if the guys are doing that, I would like to be a part of that because I want to feel like I'm important and I'm a big deal. But I'm not going to have my own Rob Mayer meet and greet. And it's just you, me, and Tawanda at a bar. I mean,
please do that.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, please do that.
You don't think enough of yourself? You don't think you're popular enough to draw a crowd?
No, you know what? I think I probably am, but it does seem like a douchey thing to throw my own meet and greet.
You're not selling your wares. I mean, you're not. It's not that kind of thing. It's hi. I happen to be in town. I'm opening for the show. It's relevant. It's not like you're hijacking. You're just there to. If I were to throw a meet and greet, that would be douchey because I'm just going as a fan to go watch the show. I'm not going there to go, you know, shake hands and, you know, kiss babies.
Well, I don't even know how to throw a meet and greet. Do I have to find a place with a private room? Do I have to secure a number that we're going to have X amount of people here? Do I have to put down a deposit somewhere? I mean, it sounds like work.
No, we just pick a bar and we pick a time and we say, look, this is the time Rob's going to be hanging out at said bar at said time. And everybody show up when you want to show up. And if you don't get there early enough, Rob may be drunk. You know, who knows?
What are you going to do, Rob? Are you going to tell stories? Are you going to over the top be, oh, my God, it's John Franklin. My God, thank God you're here, whatever. How are you going to treat this?
I don't know. I mean, there was a couple that came to our murder mystery at McGoobie's yesterday that's going to be in New Orleans. So maybe they'll be there at the meet and greet. Maybe they're tired of me by now. I mean, yeah. Am I supposed to hold court? Is there a microphone? Do I have to walk around to people, or do they come to me? I don't know how this works. Is there a table set up? Do
I sit on a throne like Santa Claus, and people come and kick?
You are so overthinking this. This is really the easiest possible thing.
Oh no, he's right, because it can get awkward. You know, I mean, like. They're there, you're there, like, should we go over and say something to them? You're like, oh my God, this is embarrassing, nobody's talking to me. You know, it could be bad.
Yeah. And if somebody makes an effort to go to some bar that they weren't going to go to, just say hi to me. I mean, I definitely feel obligated to talk to that person.
Well, this
but I don't
weekend,
know if I want that.
All right. Well, this weekend on AmeriCast, I'm talking with Stephen Douglas McIntyre. He's the head of the TMOS fan club. He knows the ins and outs of all the events that are going on. I'll tell you what, I'll just get the details from him and I'll just say, I'll share them with you so you can choose to show up if you want. It's up to you.
I am open to having to being a part of a meet and greet where it is advertised that I will be there. I've never been to New Orleans. I don't know where it would be or what's a good place. So I'm open for suggestions as to where that might be.
Harrah's Poker Room.
Right. I will be part of a meet and greet, and do I answer every question, or do I peel back the curtain all the way, Joe, or do I live a little secrecy?
No, you answer every question when you're right in front of them, as long as they don't have cameras on you, as long as they're not videoing you, because you can always deny it.
All right. So they ask me what Robbie's really like. What am I supposed to do?
You say he's highly type A. His asshole is the size of a BB. I mean, you know, you'll describe him.
What do you think the perception of people is? Because we had someone on our Patreon who left some comments, and they were, you know, they were kind of shitting on you a little bit, Robbie, about maybe it wasn't the Patreon, but somewhere about our argument. And then there was somebody on the Patreon really praising you for wanting you to with that dog issue that we can't speak of yet, the stealing of the dog. But do you think that I'm sure people listen to the show and they know that Robbie can be a handful, but do they think Joe, do you think they think that we play it up?
Oh, is shtick
as bad, or is it we playing it perfectly, or is it he's worse than what we're letting on?
If we play it up, what are we, the greatest actors alive? Are we better than Daniel Day-Lewis?
We're not. We're nowhere near.
I mean, we definitely had arguments that I couldn't possibly. They couldn't be pretend, right? Nobody's that good.
No, nobody. So they have to know that this is real to some extent, if not all the way. But like the reality is, I mean, he's probably more of a handful than people even realize. Robbie, if we're being honest.
Robbie actually acquiesced to something yesterday, which I was so it wasn't like him, and I really appreciated it. Here's what he did. He wanted me to send a technical email to a venue, which is highly fucking annoying. Yes. And instead of him putting it together, he's going to explain it to me so I can try to 12 hours later recreate that email and then send it to the venue. I said, dude, listen to me. Can you just put it together rather than try to explain it to me? I don't have an aptitude for it. Just because it's easy for you to understand doesn't mean it's going to be easier for me to understand. By the way, explaining it to me doesn't help either, because you know what you want and the venue is going to understand. If you send it directly to them, it's a win-win. And he actually said yes. Now, I never got the email to forward to the venue, so I don't know if he's just giving me lip service, but that's not like him to give me lip service, so I do think it's coming.
Yeah, the email is going to be, can you have some way for us to play a video?
I don't need that. That's what I'm saying. I don't need
Can you have some way for us to play a video file? That's so difficult.
Yeah, that's that does sound like Robbie, despite me. I know there's more to it, but he probably will spite me instead of trying to serve the interests of the show, but whatever. Okay.
What Joe is saying is, imagine he doesn't speak English, and you say you want him to go to McDonald's and order a number 3. And he goes, okay, but he can do that, but he's still concerned.
You just write
it
on this piece
well,
of paper for me? Yeah.
Because if he says a number 3 and they say, would you like cheese with that? Then he's no clue. So rather than
exactly
you just
God,
doing it.
Perfect. It's a perfect explanation of it. By the way, you know how many times they come back with something?
Every
fucking time, without exception. It never fails. And by the way, Robbie, what he just said as simplistically as he said it, by the way, now I'm getting annoyed because he said he would do it and now he's belittling it. But obviously, you know, look, I don't say, hey, Robbie, just go tell that person what the play the Redskins just ran. It was a counter tray and the guard pulled, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't do that. That's not his thing. But he sure as fuck would do it to me. Go talk to the technical people at the Rams head.
We'll be at the Rams head Halloween nights. That's Tuesday the 31st. We'll be at the DC Improv, hopefully with Rob Spiewak looking like it, on this Wednesday the 25th. You probably have time, once you hear that, to get on over there. And then down in VA Beach the 29th, all Halloween Whodunit Die Laughing Productions.
Yeah, there's tickets to all shows, but they're pretty crowded. I think we got 131 sold in Annapolis, and then we have about 200 sold in DC. So, I mean, there's seats left. You can go see those shows.
Get on it. You won't be able to see it again until next Halloween. If you don't know how that works, it's in another year from now, in October. So, yes, they'll ask me questions. So, obviously, they're probably going to, if Tawana's there, they're going to want to talk to her. They might ask about us. But what questions do you think the fans will have about you, Joe?
I mean, they're probably going to be a lot more candid since I'm not going to be there, right?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
Well, will you tell the truth or will you protect me?
Well, I don't know what would I be protecting you from. I mean, I think you're pretty honest about things on the show.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think there's anything you got to try to figure out except for why I'm not there. I'll have to explain it to you off air, but yeah.
They might ask if Scott Apple's, if that's shtick. And we're like, no, that's 100% Scott Apple.
Same thing. You can't pretend that stuff. I mean, we don't have these amazing actors at our disposal to just have on and play music quizzes. You understand?
You have another? Yeah.
Russell Crowe's not available to do the show with us.
Didn't you have another Scott Apple story about him not knowing who somebody was or something? Somebody was dead.
Yeah. God, you're putting me on the spot because I can't remember what that was. We'll get back to it. I'm going to scroll through my Rob text. I'll find it.
It was good stuff. But as we mentioned, Dan Ninen, Back in the news, shout out to Joe DeVito. He's a comic I know on Facebook, and he's been doing a great job of posting, you know, tagging me and JL and another Ninanites on any Nina news. And the Daily Beast, another good article. Apparently, Dan was involved in a fundraiser for some Republican who's trying to get Maxine Waters' seat in California, Omar Navarro. He bills himself as the Hispanic Donald Trump. There was a $125 a plate fundraiser with a who's who of people you wouldn't think you would pay to see talk or perform. With Dan being the host, I guess, the opening act, if you will. So there was a review. Someone wrote about it.
Yeah, did this person know him? Did they know, you know, that he was an awful comic prior to that? Is this guy going in there just objectively?
We don't know anything because nobody will comment on this.
Yes, the night's proceedings with an entrance fee of $125, $250 for access to a private party, began with a set from 56-year-old comedian Dan Ninen, who previously masqueraded as a 35-year-old millennial. After urging the sparse crowd to take their seats, Ninen began with a joke about a terrorist bombing in New York City last year. "I live in New York City," Ninen said, as people still shuffled around and spoke in the crowd. "I live, folks, on the corner of 23rd Street and 6th Avenue. Does anyone know what happened there a year ago?" Crowd remained mostly silent, except for one person who said Ninen owed him $20 for that thing. "No, there was a bomb in a dumpster on my corner," Ninen said, referring to the bombing which injured dozens of people. "There was a bomb in a dumpster on my corner, September 17th, last year. Although I heard a rumor it wasn't a bomb, it was somebody trying to charge a Samsung Galaxy Note 7. There were groans. The world's only half-Indian, half-Japanese comedian went on for a few more minutes before leading the crowd in the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's the best reception he got.
Yes.
It is interesting, not that Dan bombed, everybody knew that. By the way, Scott Apple thought Ashton Kutcher was a girl and that she was dead. Anyway, whatever, that's what he thought. But she is very much alive. But, you know, Dan, not just, it doesn't matter, the bombing, that's nothing. But he will chameleon not just to any age, but to any ideology.
Yes.
You know, he cares about the environment and in Clinton, he's friends with him, and all of a sudden he's a Republican. Whatever he can get himself in, slime himself into, it does. You know, I mean, you don't have to look, you're only as good as your integrity, right? So he doesn't care what affiliation, as long as there's dollars attached to it, at least he is consistent in that regard.
He's if a he bombing can get paid, mercenary. Yeah.
He does not care how he represents himself as long as, like, I know people that they wouldn't do a Trump, charity or benefit, for they wouldn't do it for $100,000. People that are dead broke, they wouldn't do it. Ninen, he would do it for whatever, what's available.
Absolutely. Not to be outdone by the lavish production that took place, Ninen returned to the stage, this is after everything, and tried selling his CDs and DVDs for a reduced combined price of $20, promising that if the audience purchased them, he'll contribute that money to Navarro's campaign. It is unclear how much Navarro raised for the event, and he did not respond to requests for comment from the Daily Beast by press time. It's also unclear how many CDs Ninen sold since he did not return requests for comment.
That's what got us into this whole mess.
Yes.
That's what started the whole thing.
Full circle. Yes.
He inappropriately sells product, and this guy says the same thing. Is he going to ruin this guy's life? Is this guy going to be okay? Is he going to make it out of this?
The Daily Beast is amazing. I think they're just like hammering him now. It's so fantastic.
All the shots. But this is what I was thinking about. Because, like, you know, we've been on stage and we've bombed, obviously, and it's not a good feeling. And when you bomb,
Like, if you bomb as the MC, that's the worst, because then you have to keep going up there and you don't want to be seen again. And definitely if you bomb, you don't want to sell or hang out afterwards. You just want to leave. But we're also don't go to a place knowing we're going to bomb. We don't think we're going to bomb. When it happens, it just happens. But he must go there knowing that he's going to bomb, yet he still does it.
Well, and I think about that because, you know, I had that, I've talked about it before, that Maryland Lottery show I had, which was probably the biggest payday I ever had, where I had to perform for, Rob, you were there, what was it, 9 hours? Going back on stage and off stage. Just, they hated me. The audience was filled with people that were willing to go there to watch a show that people won by scratching off lottery tickets.
Yeah.
And now I'm going up there trying to tell 8 hours worth of jokes. Oh, my God, it was a nightmare. And I would never do that again. There is no price. Well, that's not true. Clearly, there is a price. But it ain't close to what I got. And it was the biggest payday ever. I would never, just to not feel that way. But Dan's career, that's what it is.
Yes, that's what it is.
I was going to say, I'm going to fool you into paying me. I'm going to bomb, and I'm going to leave with my money. That's his career.
And I was thinking about the equivalent of that for us, because obviously, you know, we're good at comedy, so we feel like we're going to be able to get the job done. But what if, Joe, you and I had built ourselves as an elite ballroom dancing team, and we were going to go to these events, and we were going to open the show. We're going to do the foxtrot and the tango and all these dances. And, you know, within 10 seconds, they're going to realize that we have no ability to do this.
Hey,
and then
let me add to that. There's video evidence on YouTube of you guys doing horrible dances.
Exactly. But we have some good recommendations, and we have all these dates of these corporate events. And we did the Nike seminar and new shoes expo. And we did this and we did that and we did IBM's corporate thing.
There's also articles of us punching people in the face.
Exactly. Yes. And misrepresenting our age, you know, almost double. And then after this, we go back on stage and we sell a DVD of us doing more dances that we prove we can't do. And then a book on how to do these dances. That's the equivalent. I mean, that sounds horrible, right?
Even as a goof.
Right.
Could you sit through, I mean, what's this DVD, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Could you sit through that?
No.
No chance. Even if I was like, oh, this is going to be hilarious, you know, I couldn't do it. I could not. Sometimes I look and I go, I don't feel like watching, you know, some great comic that's on Netflix. I haven't seen every stand-up special on there.
He, you know, as I said on Facebook, Dan always goes full Dan. He does his set, he bombs, but he still comes up and tries to sell you a book on how to do comedy. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Jealousy, revenge, and a movie stunt gone horribly wrong. Hi, it's Justin from the 98 Rock Morning Show, and I'm not describing my weekend. I'm talking about the newest murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit. You've seen me play detective, a reality TV show judge, and even Marty McFly. Well, this time, I play M. Night Shyamalamadamadalamadaloom, the world's most celebrated film director, working on his new horror project. When someone is killed on the movie set, I go from directing the actors and cameramen to directing a murder investigation. And as always, you can play a part in solving the crime too, and maybe even play one of the suspects. Be a part of the mayhem and hilarity for which Die Laughing Productions has become renowned. Halloween Whodunit? Don't miss it.
Next performance, Halloween night at Ram's Head on Stage in Annapolis. For more information on upcoming show dates, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I sent you an email, Joe.
Yeah, I saw it. God, he's so annoying. Here's what it says. Do you want to know?
Yes.
All right, here's the email Robbie sent for me to send. Can you please see if they can provide a way for us to play a video file or DVD through their projector? Okay, you got it. I'm going to send that. And they're going to have questions. That's what's going to happen.
Yep. And I
now Robbie could be more specific, but he'd rather make a point, so I'll send it.
No, I don't know how I could be more specific.
I'll send it. Get the questions.
I don't know how I could be more specific than that.
Got it. Got it. All right. I'm sending it to I'll send it to him. Okay. By the way, do you think they're gonna have any questions?
Do you want to know what type of the file it is, maybe?
No, no. I'm asking you if you think they're gonna have questions.
No.
You
just
don't
talk
think
to their audio
to
guy
bet.
And he'll either say yes or no.
All right. All right, I'll bet you. I'll bet they do. What do you want to bet? Name your price.
I'll bet you a dollar.
Never mind.
I had a long day Saturday. I taught my class, teach driving class, yeah, in Ashburn, Virginia. And then I had a show in Leesburg that night, which is 5 miles away, at 10 p.m. So I'm done teaching at 6:30. Obviously, I have time to kill, but I'm right there in the area. This is like an hour and 10 from my house. And then I got offered a gig in D.C. in between that, and I agreed to do that. And then I was like, why did I do that? Because I have to drive all the way to Ashburn, Virginia, and then drive to D.C., and then drive literally right back to where I was, and then drive all the way home. So it's an incredibly long day. They end up being good shows. But after I was about to do the first show, and this guy, Chip Jones, a comic friend of mine, hadn't seen him in a few years, used to come to my open mic in Rockville. And, you know, he hadn't seen me since Heart of the City and all that stuff. And he goes, oh, man, you're double dipping tonight. Things are going great. I mean, you're definitely not doing that driving class anymore, are you? And I'm like, oh, no, I just came from there. Thanks for mentioning that. And I was like, oh. So it's like, I guess I'm just, nope, not a big deal. So.
Well, I don't think that, you know, I even say on my Twitter, I have a day job. I won't quit it. You know, I mean, it's a convenient job for what you do. And when you're out of town, you don't do it. Whatever. I don't need to defend you because today I got in. That's not what happened to me at my day job. Okay. I won't over explain this, but I do subcontract work for a health insurance company. We call their clients and we offer a service to them, but we cannot offer a service to them until we identify that we're speaking directly to them because it involves their health. Pretty simple. We don't ask them social security numbers. We don't ask them addresses. We ask two questions that you couldn't possibly use to steal anyone's identity, but you have to ask them in order to make sure you're speaking to them. Month and year of birth and zip code. What are you going to do? Drive to that zip code and say who was born in February and take their identity? It's just, it makes me crazy. So anyway, it ends up somebody has taken the number that we call from, put it online as a scam. Okay.
All right.
Next thing you know, I am in an argument with people that are just distributed. Like, I'm some Nigerian prince who wants to get their routing. I'm in an argument to the point where at the end I said, hey, my name is Joe Robinson. My phone, I gave my personal information on this website. I was so fucking pissed. I gave my name. I said, here's how you can find me. Here's a link to my Wikipedia page if you want to know who I am. Here's my personal phone number. Put it all in there. Hey, no lie. As soon as I hit submit, I go, what the fuck am I doing? Right? I mean, I Robbie level of anger, right? So I'm like, what am I doing? Now all my shit is out there. Luckily, these dicks are so... It's one of these websites where all they try to do is identify scams. And they're not interested in whether or not you're legitimate. They just want to keep shitting on you. And I'm getting ganged up on because it's an entire website of people that are out trying to, I think people are predatorily after them. So thank God they deleted that information. They wouldn't allow me to post that information. Because as soon as I did it, I had immediate regret. I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to get this off of here. So anyway, but they deleted. But that's how angry I was today. I put my first and last name and my cell phone number on a website regarding scams. I put it on there.
And we call
meaning
right
anybody
now?
Who's involved in a scam who goes to that site to see if they're being flagged, they now have my personal information.
Can we call them now from the show?
Call who?
This is one of these people that you're arguing with.
Well, they don't provide their phone numbers. They're just initials. They're just...
That's too bad.
Yeah.
This was an email argument or a chat room?
It actually is. It's a website where if you put a number in, you can see whether or not it's a legitimate number, right? So we call from a number. Well, as soon as one person says, hey, is this number legitimate? somebody put in here, this is a common scam. People are doing blah, blah, blah. So as soon as I saw that, I go, wait a minute. This isn't a scam. I'm with this company. This is the reason we ask the questions, blah, 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 right? They're coming back and, oh, you could just be saying that, this, that, and the other. There's a lot of Joes in this world. I'm not kidding. I go, no, wait a minute. I go, call the number on the back of your insurance card and ask if we're legitimate. They go, oh, we just asked for Joe. No, Dick. Ask if who I say, where I say I'm from is legitimate. What do you think? I'm so fucking, the scam is so elaborate that I was able to get into your wallet and change the number on the back of your insurance card. Call that number. I'm telling you, they will. They're basically just fuck with you. They don't, they're not interested. But because honestly, 99.9% of the time, if somebody number, somebody's phone number ends up on this website, it's a scam. So, I mean,
Eric,
I guess I
the actor would be loving this. He would be so.
Oh, this
so
would
be
right up his alley. Yes, yeah. Right up his alley. But now all of a sudden, I'm in a fight, and so I'm so mad. I'm like, how do I let these guys know that this is legitimate? I'm so furious and I'm so worked up. I literally write, I am Joe Robinson. You can find me. Here's how, just Google my name. Here I am. Here's my personal cell phone number. You want to call me? I'll FaceTime with you. Okay. Call me. You'll meet me. I'll say, I'm the guy from the web. Oh, I was so furious. Of course, they didn't allow it on. They didn't allow it on, but I was so mad.
Can you please give us a link to that website, Joe?
Well, no, I don't want to put the number out there, right? Because it's a legitimate business number, but I can certainly give it to you, but you can't post it, you know, up there with, because, you know, what'll happen is the people that are fans of this show will go on there and start shitting on me as well. You know, I can't have my business being affected by this, right?
That's what our fans will defend you, Joe.
No, they hate it.
No,
Joe,
no, they won't.
You, speaking of the Ramshead, which will be in Annapolis on the 31st on Halloween, you were there this past weekend.
Yeah, I go to see Hollywood Nights. Do you know who that is, Robbie?
It's a Bob Seger cover band.
It is a Bob Seger cover band. They charge $25 a ticket. The Murder Mystery charges $22.50 a ticket. Now, Rob and I know what we can make if we sell out. We sell it. We know what we can make. We have both Rob and myself, and we have, what, about four or five other people, and that's who we're obligated to pay. But all those people, they live in the area. It takes me 15 minutes to get to the Ramshead from where I currently live.
No, no one needs Justin, a hotel.
Yeah, it would take Justin, it's like 15 minutes to get to the Ramshead. It's yeah, nobody, just drive there, and you drive home. You're home in 35 minutes from the furthest person away. It's not, it's nothing. Hollywood Nights has a tour bus. They have a tour bus that pulls a trailer. Now, I assume they have roadies. Maybe they don't. Maybe the Robbie, did I already ask you how many people are in the band? Did I already ask you this?
No.
Okay.
But
well,
I'm
I'll let Marcus
say,
and you guess.
They got 12 plus a couple backup singers.
So you're saying 14?
I'm saying including a couple backup singers, I should say.
Marcus,
would you like to guess how many people are in the band?
Yeah, I think you probably have about five band members, and you might have three roadies.
So you got five band members, three roadies. Now, if there's roadies, I wouldn't know. That would be an addition. I only know the band members.
So we'll go with five.
Well, Hollywood Nights has a drummer. They have a lead singer. They have three backup singers. They have two lead guitars, or two guitarists, probably rhythm and lead. They have a bassist. They have a sax player. They have two piano players. They have 11 band members.
I was close.
Unless these people are also setting up the equipment, there may be one or two other people. They are charging $2.50 more a ticket. Rob, how do they travel? How is there a tour bus? By the way, they're awesome, but they're awesome. Okay. They're awesome at playing somebody else's intellectual property. By the way, I don't understand a cover band. I don't understand it. Your Blood, Sweat, and Tears over 40 years wrote a catalog of amazing songs to the tune of 25 songs that everybody in the room's going to know. By the way, they didn't do Shakedown. They didn't do Shame on the Moon. They didn't do Fire. Like, I mean, there's a million songs that I know that they didn't even do. These are just the songs that they performed, and they probably did 25 songs. They just take these people's property. They took Bob Seger's property, and they just go and they perform it, and they make a career out of it. Whatever. I don't understand it, but it's okay. I mean,
doing the math, I don't know if they're making a career out of it, because you know, you just multiply that by 315 people or whatever it seats, and even if they get all the door, there's travel, there's hotels. I don't know.
There's a tour bus has to be paid for, but plus everybody doesn't make the same amount of money. There's a guy, the guy standing up front who's Bob Seger with this amazing voice, and is he probably my age. He has hair down to his ass, parted in the middle. He looks fucking ridiculous, but he also looks awesome, as described before. But the girl in the back that's singing Still the Same or whatever, that she can't be making the same amount of money as this guy. There are people there that are making change to do this.
Can you tell the Dave story, or is that not allowed to be told?
No. It can be told. I don't know how we. So it was four of us going, and one person who clearly was invited, we'd say, "Hey, we're on our way down. Where do you guys want to meet?" Well, one of the guys going to the show says, "Oh, well, I'm going to have dinner with my girlfriend down there. I'll meet you after the show."
And the tickets are already bought, right?
Yeah, we bought the tickets. They're already bought. Now they're $25, so I'm going to eat the money. But what would you have done? I know what Robbie would have done, but what would you have done, Rob? Because I could have said, "Well, wait a minute, you're supposed to be going."
But I said you're not coming to the show, but you didn't say anything.
Yeah, because I felt bad, because clearly he was already down there with his girl. And all I could really have done is make him feel bad, so I didn't say anything. But the irony is, he didn't want to fucking be there. He was out with her friends, and he said they sucked. So he didn't even want to be there. There was just some sort of misunderstanding, but it shows you should always tell the truth, because I tried to protect him, but really, I stuck him in a situation he didn't want to be in. He could have gone and hung out with her afterwards.
So you bought a ticket for him, and he was literally in Annapolis, steps away from the show that he wanted to be at.
Yeah, and he wanted to be there. That's the case.
But because neither one of you said anything, you ate the money, and he sat three doors down having a bad time.
Everybody ended up worse off. Everybody was worse off as a result. But
Now tell my favorite story about the classic.
Well, there's two stories. The first thing is, there's a guy in front of us, and he reminded me a little bit of your girlfriend, Robbie. And he was videoing the entire concert, which I think is so interesting, because first of all, it's not Bob Seger. By the way, there was a lady at our table. I don't know this for sure, but the guy that was sitting at the table, he was older than my father, and his wife, who was there, had never heard of Bob Seger. She thought she was seeing Bob Seger. I'm pretty sure that's what she said. And of course, what difference does it make? She didn't know who he is, so she might as well think she's seeing Bob Seger. And she probably thought she was seeing a pretty big star, because her husband was singing every single word to every single song. But he was so old, at the end of the songs, he'd say, I swear, verbatim, he'd be like, "Way to go!" That's what he would yell at the end of a song. But it was cool, because now that lady can say she saw Bob Seger, and she's telling the truth. Because it's true here. It's not a lie if you believe it. She believes that she saw him. Well, anyway, there's a guy videoing the entire concert. And all I was thinking is, you can go online and watch Bob Seger videos. You can have a video of the actual better guy who wrote the songs performing in his prime. Instead, this guy is filming every second of every song of a guy not as good as Bob Seger singing his song. What
who
the
would
fuck
you
is
wanna
he going to
see
do with that?
If somebody had a phone and said, "Look, I went to this show last night. It was blank cover band or blank impersonator. I have video of it." Who would you care to look at?
I mean, if somebody said, "Oh, my God, this guy sang Under Pressure and he hit the high note," you know what I mean? I'd be like, "Oh, let me see that." But to watch a concert, nobody.
I mean, maybe with Michael Jackson impersonators, I don't know.
But how much of it can you watch?
Because eventually, I could just I could just watch concert video of Michael Jackson.
You know when the last time Bob Seger toured was?
No clue.
Two, three years ago.
This year. No, he's touring. He toured this year. You can go see him.
Well,
you
don't have to.
Yes, you can just see Bob Seger. Now, he didn't come around here. The closest he came, I think, was Pittsburgh. But again, you can see Bob Seger. He's still performing his songs, but whatever. Anyway, this is the classic Joe that he's referring to. I love Bob Seger. Love him. When he goes, it's going to feel the same as Petty. It might even be worse. We talked about that, as my life is represented by different little segments. I think my middle school years and early high school years are best represented by the music of Bob Seger. Whatever. I love Bob Seger. But and all his songs are awesome. They're all great. I love every song that he, maybe Horizontal Bop, which they didn't do, but an old time rock and roll, which you can't hear anymore. But every other song, there's nothing I'm like, oh shit, they're playing blah, blah, blah. Everything's awesome. So I'm keeping the time to the music by just tapping my girlfriend, right? And I probably did it for every single song. And she loves me, so she didn't care. She let me hit her for, you know, 2 hours or whatever. But it didn't occur to me until maybe through the third or fourth song that the back of my hand is hitting something. And I guess I just figured it's a chair or I see that there's a railing there. I look up. It's a lady. I've hit her, without exaggeration, well over. I mean, I've probably hit her hundreds of times. With the back of my hand for like five straight songs. I'm just hitting this lady.
She never said anything.
Never said a word. Now, as soon as I looked up and I realized that I was hitting her, I stopped. And then at that point, she leaned up. So I think that she was like, I don't want to embarrass this guy by leaning up. He's going to know he's been hitting me. So I'm just going to take it until I get my opportunity. And then I'm going to lean up. But yeah, I hit a lady again, probably 300 times.
Do you think she looked? Now, she was in front of you?
She was. So
she,
imagine,
could have turned her head and said, what the fuck?
With a look, yeah, but right? Here's the deal. Remember, she's lower. So we are at, you know, that back section in Ram's Head, they have two rows. In the very back section, like if you're facing the stage all the way to the left. We're in the front, a front table in that section. Katie is sitting right by the railing, and I'm in the seat behind. So I have my arm around her, and I'm like, patting her leg, but the back of my hand, again, it's crowded. So Katie's up against the rail and the lady's up against the rail. So we're only talking about it's like a 1 or 2 inch span that I'm going back and forth between. So it didn't occur to me that somebody would be that close that was sitting at another table, considering that there's a person in between me and this person. But I felt bad.
Did you say anything to her?
I didn't, because at that point, I realized that she leaned up there in the middle of a song. And then when the song ended, it was funnier to tell what I had done than it was to, you know, it would have been difficult too, to get to her to apologize.
Robbie, would you have said something at some point to her? I apologize. Or
maybe not after five songs. I think I would have been too embarrassed.
Yeah. Marcus.
Oh, I would have said something. Yeah.
Like right then, or you wait till after the show?
Yeah. I would have asked her for a number.
See, Marcus, it's a real question.
That's your shtick.
No, but I would have. I would have said something. I would have apologized. I'm just saying. I would have. You know what, though? I might have asked her for a number, and I'm not kidding, because I got to find a way to lighten it up, you know, to make it humorous.
This will make it less weird. Now I'll ask you out. You're right next to your husband. Okay.
Exactly.
What if she gives you her number? Now you have your woman's number. And then your wife finds out. This is never just because you tapped on someone and said something, and now you're divorced. That's how shit happens, Marcus.
I think good.
I would have. That's very Kirby enthusiasm. That was very Larry David you just described, Joe.
If it was Kirby enthusiasm, a lady would have confronted him.
Yes.
Yeah,
but this is real. I mean, you understand, I can barely watch Curb because of how uncomfortable I feel. This is a real thing.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap it up. Rob and Joe Show.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So J.L. Covan, our buddy, is going to be at McGoobies this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I believe it's 26 to 28.
Who's he with?
Dan Soder, funny guy. I can't go Friday or Saturday. I'm going to try to get over there Thursday, maybe. Saturday night, David Koechner is doing a little promotional comedy run for his sitcom, Superior Donuts. Jermaine Fowler, a couple other guys on the show are all doing 6-7 city tour to promote the upcoming season. He will be at the Improv for an afternoon show, and then he invited some of us out for a supper club burlesque dinner show.
Can you bring anyone?
He texted me and Jermaine and someone else who I don't know, who I'm assuming is this other guy, Rel. It's on the show. I don't recognize. I don't know the guy, so obviously I don't have his phone number. And he said, my buddy is getting reservations for this place who wants in. And I said, yes, the girlfriend and I are in. But it is possible that it could be all dudes, and I'm the one bringing the girl, which is fine.
Invite her? Did you just assume she was invited?
Well, he likes her, and we've hung out, so
that's neither here nor there. I like Tawanda too. Doesn't get invited to the poker game.
What I responded, yes, me and the girlfriend are in. That was the time to say no, and he never did.
He doesn't really have an opportunity to say that now.
Why not?
Come on, you can't. If I said hey. Hey, do you want to do blah, blah, blah? And you go, yeah, me and Tawan will be there. I wouldn't come back to you. And I have a different relationship than you have with David Koechner, or he has with you. But I wouldn't then. I'd say, oh, it's too late. And hell, I wouldn't even tell Dave that he was screwing me out of this $25. I sure as hell wouldn't be trying. I wouldn't. She probably isn't invited, and you forced her into the dinner.
No.
You put the guy in a corner, Rob.
I'm sure. I know. I don't think that's what it is at all. I mean, we're not going to it's not a bachelor party.
Can we call him and ask him?
We cannot call him and ask him.
Yeah, but it is a burlesque show. The idea that she's automatically invited, I mean, it's pretty presumptuous.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
I didn't say it was bad. It's just...
Well, then he asked me, am I coming to the show, the comedy show? And I said yes, got my tickets, plural. And he said, you didn't buy them, did you? And I said, I did already. I wanted to support, but... Yeah, I mean, thanks for making me feel weird about this now. It's only going to bother me the entire time.
Well, why don't you flat out say, send him a text and go, hey, I just assume, but that maybe that was wrong to assume. It's cool that she's coming. Now, if he says, oh, yeah, it's cool, then it is cool. But if he says, hey, as long as you don't mind her being the only girl there, that's him letting you know she wasn't supposed to be there.
What am I supposed to do? We're supposed to go to the comedy show, and then me and her part ways, and I go out to hang out and have dinner with them? It doesn't make sense.
One asked after the other. The order that you just gave wouldn't have implied that.
No, it's the comedy show, and then he said after the show.
You said he asked you to dinner first.
He said after the show.
And then he said, are you coming to the show?
Yes, but I had already told him that I was coming to the show. He was just confirming that.
Listen, I hope you're right. I hope you didn't make it awkward.
Okay. Now,
but it's not a 0% chance. It's not zero.
No, but it's less than 5%.
Man, less than 5? I don't agree with that.
No.
Well, I'm in my town. I'm not supposed to be hanging out with my girlfriend that he knows and has hung out with.
No, I understand that, but aren't two other guys going?
At least, because he says his buddy is set this up. And then he invited me and Jermaine, and the other phone number, I'm assuming, is the other comic.
So you believe right now it's a minimum of three guys, David Koechner and his buddy and you. That's six guys. And then you think he meant for Tawanda to be there?
I think he meant for, me and whoever I'm. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Me and Tawanda.
I'm not saying you're wrong, and I want you to be right. I don't want you to have created. I'm just saying it doesn't seem that way at face
value. Look, we're getting dressed up and we're going to fucking be there. If they don't like it, fuck them, okay?
Well, I'm not saying she shouldn't go. I'm just telling you. You might have misread this one. That's all.
Do I have to read it verbatim? Is that what you want me to do?
I mean, if you're reading it to make yourself feel better, do it.
Okay.
From the beginning, no editing.
My buddy is making a dinner reservation. This is the group text. My buddy is making a dinner reservation after our show in D.C. for a burlesque supper club. Who is interested? I understand you all may have commitments. Let me know ASAP, assholes.
Okay, okay.
I said, yes, the girlfriend and I are down. Okay. It was 7:30. We are confirming. I say, perfect.
Okay. I mean, exactly what I felt, I feel the same way. There's a possibility that it was a guy thing that you invited a girl to. I'm just saying it's a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I want to know who his buddy is, because last time we were together in Arlington, the draft house, he said that next time he's in town, Jake Tapper and his wife will go out. Jake Tapper of CNN. You don't watch the news, Joe, but the rest
of you. I don't know who that is. Unless it's Wolf Blitzer, I'm not going to know.
Yeah, he's bigger than Wolf Blitzer, I would say. So maybe that's his buddy, but I doubt it. But that would be cool, right? All right, well, thanks. Now I'm going to obsess over that. Thanks a lot, Joe.
No, you can always say, hey,
no,
listen.
I'm not
doing anything.
I'm not doing anything. I'm showing
up.
Yeah,
because you have to, because you certainly can't go back to Tawana and they'll say, hey, I fucked up. You're not invited. So, yeah, you have to bring her at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And you're probably right. You're probably right. But it ain't zero, my friend. It's not.
All right. What's the percentage that I'm wrong?
Well, it's not five. I think you're well aware of that as well.
75.
No, it's not that high. It's not. I'll tell you what. It is. There's a 5% to 10% chance that he's not okay with it, but he's just doing it. There's at least a 30% chance that it didn't occur to him until he said, we're coming. I would say it's higher than that. That he invited you, and then you said, I'm bringing somebody with me. And not until he saw that did it occur to him that he was inviting two people, but he was fine with it. That's a pretty big piece of the pie, in my opinion.
Yeah,
him not being happy she's there, that's a small sliver. Him inviting both of you guys, I think, is as big as the sliver that he invited just you, but he's okay with the fact that she's coming. Those two pieces of the pie are the same.
Do you think I'll be able to just read the situation without saying anything and figure out who's right here?
When you walk in there and there's 9 dicks and a vagina, you're going to read it for 100%.
Graham All says right. He'll keep her company if you'd like.
I don't doubt that. I do not doubt that.
My son came to the murder mystery. It was his 20th birthday yesterday, and he had a party of 9 with him. 3 of them were chicks.
Did they have a good time?
They had a great time, and I was much more concerned with my father going over there and saying something ridiculous than I was about anything else. And I go, hey, who wants to bang an old man? But he was able to keep it under wraps.
Well, it's funny because one of your son's friends came up to me and goes, are you Rob from the Rob and Joe show? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh, I listen to your podcast. I love it. I'm like, how could you love it? Like, we just talked about Bob Seger. You don't even know who that is. Like, really? You love it? Okay.
Which one was it? What describe him?
He was tall and thin like your son, but he also had glasses, but he had dark hair.
Yeah, that's Trent. Yeah, that's his good friend.
Yeah, Trent. Yeah, that was it.
Trent doesn't know who Bob Seger is. I don't think he knows who Paul McCartney is. I swear to God, this is the truth. My son told me. He said, you know, that's his, I don't think it's his roommate. I think it's his suite mate at college. I think that they two live one, right? And he says he came in the other day and his friend, the Trent, was listening to music from video games. That's what he was listening to. Like, you might sit around and listen to Prince. He was listening to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, he likes our podcast, so shout out to Trent. Hope you enjoy this episode about supper clubs and David Koechner and burlesque and Bob Seger and meet and greet etiquette. All right. Well, I guess that's the show, folks.
Yeah, let's cut a little bit short so we can watch the I hope this isn't going to be a bad one. Redskins never perform very well on Monday night.
Yeah, traditionally.
No, we haven't really had an embarrassing game yet this year in terms of just getting blown out or anything or not being competitive. I've already blocked former show announcer Tim.
Oh, he's so ridiculous. I have to watch. It's rough. I don't know what to do. I don't want to go out because it's a school night. But, right. You know, if I watch it here, I have to watch it on my father's TV. And you realize my father thinks he has high def, but I look in the back, you know, he's got the red, white, and yellow thing stuck in. I mean, does anybody still have that?
No, he doesn't have an HDMI cord. So.
Well, he has an HDMI. Aunt Mom has an HDMI cord that goes from the TiVo to the TV. But they don't have an HDMI. They don't have a high def box.
Oh, jeez.
And by the way, the television, the cable is going into that. What's it called, Robbie, when you have the three colors? What's that called?
Not RCA.
RGB.
RGB.
Yeah. That's what they have. That's what they're watching it on. I call them the red scrawls because it looks like cave drawings. By the way, you know, the screen is cut off. Do you know that, Robbie? The screen they watch is cut. They don't see the whole TV show. They see part of it.
They have the aspect ratio screwed up, yes.
It makes me nuts. Well, yes, they don't see.
Do something. Fix this.
Well, this is what I realized. Not the TV downstairs. The TV downstairs is as wide as it is. You know, it's a complete cube. It's like watching a giant Rubik's cube.
Right.
But the TV upstairs is a high-def TV, but it doesn't matter because they have the RGB or whatever plugged in. They're not receiving a high def signal, so it doesn't matter.
Well, get the new box. Get the right box. Get them set up.
I guarantee you I don't have the authority to call the cable company and change their box.
The box downstairs. The box downstairs is an HD, full HD box.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. There's not an HDMI cable.
No, you're right. But if he had the proper TV and the proper cable, he could watch HD.
It's like, hey, I have a Lamborghini, but I only drive it in reverse in this parking lot. I mean, you know, what is it? Who cares if they have a high def box? If they have a high def box and a high def TV, you're a bad son. That's the only way to define it. Because Robbie has their whole, TiVo is so important to Robbie that he has this whole house outfitted in TiVos. There's a TiVo on every television, okay? And that's Robbie's doing.
Of course.
But he does not have. They're receiving they have a high def box. By the way, if they have a high def box, that's crap because that means they're paying for a high def box and they're not watching high def. And they're only seeing 70% of the screen. You know, when you watch the game, you don't see the score. The score isn't on there. You don't know what the score is.
Well, you better not miss a second then. You'll never know.
That's what I have to do. I have to have a piece of paper where I'm writing the score down so I don't forget.
All right. Well, enjoy the game on, non-HD, 1/3 of the screen cut off. We'll see you next week. Come to the Improv if you can on Wednesday night. There'll be a SPIWAC sighting. Annapolis on the 31st if you're down. VA Beach on the 29th. Halloween Who Done It. DieLaughingProductions.com. Rob and Joe Show. We'll see you next week.
See you at the Burlesque Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.